of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, building a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes riding on a cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, 'cause the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on a cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, 'cause the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation.
Amen.
Oh, shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before.
We could work our way back to our seats. In Psalm 104, in Psalm 104, verse 1, we read, O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. Let's praise our King by singing, O Worship the King, the first, second, and last verse. Since I have been redeemed. First, second, and last verse. Let the redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. One more time. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, everybody. We'd like to welcome our first-time visitors to Assurance Baptist Church this morning. If you could, just raise your hand. All right. Well, as you can see, Preacher's not here this morning. He's out doing a revival. He's been gone since Friday. He'll be back tomorrow. So you'll be here with me this morning and tonight. Carter's in Cuba, preaching the gospel there. So keep them up in your prayers. As I think he returns either Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't remember. I don't have a good memory as far as that goes. But keep them in your prayers. And then also as preacher, as he's preaching all day there at our hometown in Wilmington, doing a youth revival and such there. So let's pray, and then we got a special. Lord, we're just thankful for this wonderful morning in your house. And Lord, we're thankful for everything that you do for us. Lord, we just want to lift up Brother Carter to you. Lord, that you continue to keep him safe. And Lord, that he continues just to spread the gospel there in Cuba. Lord, we ask that you just be with Preacher. Lord, that you just continue to use him there at Wilmington at Calvary Baptist. Lord, that we could see souls saved there. And Lord, I ask that you just be with the people here. Lord, that you just open up their hearts, that you just hide me behind your cross, that you just speak to them. Lord, again, we're just thankful for what you do. We love you. In your name, pray. Amen.
It must have been a sad day for all his disciples when Jesus was going away. But as he rose through the clouds, he gave them this message. He said, "I'll come back for you the same way. Tarry here a little while, my brother. Tarry here and work while it's day. Tarry here, it won't be much longer till I come back to take you away. Now sometimes this old road that I travel gets so rocky that it seems like I just can't go on. But the thought cheers my heart I stop to remember very soon now we're all going home. Tarry here a little while, my brother. Tarry here and work while it's day. Tarry here, it won't be much longer till I come back to take you away.
Fun all of you just, Satan likes to buffet me around for, and I don't have time to tell you what's been going on for the last few years, but, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that have worked, but you guys have just been there. You've not asked me, what's going on, I mean, what's wrong or anything. You just didn't care. You just welcomed me with open arms. Brandon's been in my house and asked to take me out to lunch. I mean, you're all just absolutely wonderful. And It's the Holy Spirit is just so thick in here. I mean, you can't help but feel the love of the Lord. His arms wrap around me. And it's just, I can't really put it into words properly, but I just love everyone in here just because of the love of the Lord in this place that's possible. So,
amen. On out. There we go. All right. Sorry about that. Amen. I agree. It's nice. It was nice visiting Roy, and he welcomed me into his home. He's like, "Who is this guy?" And but he was nice enough to invite me in, even though he was eating lunch. He didn't, offer me any, good old chicken. It smelled good. Nah, I'm just playing. If you guys want to find your places in a few spots, our main text today is going to be in John chapter 6, but that's going to be the main spot. But if you want to find your place also in Matthew chapter 14, verses 12, we're going to start there. John chapter 6, and then Matthew chapter 14. Once you're there, say amen. All right, Mark chapter 6. There's only a few little places. I'm sorry, I want to get you guys prepared this morning for these few places. Once you're there, say amen. All right, last one, Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And that's it. That's it for the day. Once we read these, the four Gospels here, it'll all tie together. While you're turning there, this is a simple story this morning. Can you turn me down just a hair? It's a simple story this morning, but it's something that it caught my eye here after going through studying and reading. And it caught my eye here in John chapter 6. We're going to read, starting in verse 1, if you could. So we're going to start out, and then we'll move through. But John chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad," key point here, a lad, there's somebody else here in this passage, "that here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, and what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, I was kind of southern there, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, and the number about 5,000. And when he had given thanks, he distributed the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto the disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments and 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus
did, said this is the truth that the prophet that should come into the world. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for this wonderful morning in your house, and Lord, thank you for this opportunity just to present your word, and Lord, that again, that you would open up people's hearts, that I needed this message, and I'm sure someone else does as well. Lord, I ask that you continue just to be with everybody, and Lord, we love you. In your name, pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks. So this morning, we see here John is the only gospel that mentions that there's a lad. And we're going to go through here just in a second and read the same story. You're going to be like, man, that's kind of ridiculous. Well, I want to point out a few things in each one of these chapters here. But one is John's the only one, only gospel that mentions of where they're coming from, of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And then it says that there's a lad. We're going to see exactly what this lad, what kind of heart this lad has, and something that we could learn from it this morning. And so, the title to this message is, you got to wait until it's over to find out. You got to wait until it's over to find out. So, starting in Matthew here, if you want to flip there first. Again, the main text is in John, so keep John 12. It says, and his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went up and told Jesus. So the body here is John the Baptist. He got killed, and so that's a little backstory here. But when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with a compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, and they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. And Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Key phrase here again, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down in the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and disciples to the multitude. Let's go to the next, and to Mark. Again, all this will tie together, I promise. Mark chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 30. Mark 6, verse 30, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities. And out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out and saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were asleep, or as sheep, not having a shepherd, and began to teach them many things. And when the day now was spent, his disciples came upon and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, and they may go into the country road about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Again, here we see the same thing. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the grass. And they sat down in ranks and hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to the disciples and set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. Now the very last one here. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 11. 9:11. Luke chapter 9, verse 11. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them. And then came to the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in the desert place. But he said unto them, again, same phrase, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fish, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. And there were about 5,000 men, and he said unto his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company, and they did, and so maybe, and made them all sit down. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, and blessed them, and brake, and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude, and they did eat, and were filled, and they were taken up the fragments, and remained to them 12 baskets. And you say, man, that's a lot, but it's very important here. You know, in all 4 Gospels we see here, it says, give ye them to eat. Number one this morning is people are hungry. People are hungry. In all 3 of the 4 Gospels, Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Luke, we find the same phrase, give ye them to eat. The obvious problem that sparked this entire miracle was a bunch of hungry people. People are hungry for A, for life. They are dead in trespasses and sin. B, for liberty. They are bound by chains and sin and in bondage. C, for love. They didn't know the great love that God has for them. And D, the listening ears. They are missing out on the blessing of throne and grace. You know, going through here is we forget sometimes what God does for us. You know, we're so busy with life, we're so ready to go, and sometimes we just forget the simplest small things. We forget how mighty God is, and, you know, our life, we're all dead in our trespasses of sin. You know, without God, we have nothing. And so we're all dead in our trespasses and sin, but for our liberty, we are all bound by chains and sin and bondage. You know, God did everything for us, and sometimes we just take God for granted. You know, we all do, we're all so busy in life, we're all, we've put God to the side. But as we see here is that we're all hungry. We're either hungry for what the world has for us, or we're hungry for what God has for us. And we see here that a humble provision. There are several aspects of the story that I want to point out that I've not really paid much attention to reading through this. Like I said, this is a very simple story. Yeah, woohoo, God fed 5,000 people by just the little that he had. You know, going through all these, you guys are probably like, okay, we get it, we get it, we get it. But the thing is did you fully get it? Did you understand here that in the main passage in John, that there's a lad here? I'm getting ahead of myself this morning, but this lad has a giving heart. This lad says, hey, I just got this. I don't know if Jesus can use it, but this is all I got. Brain and a lot of things just go, phew, it just goes right through. You know, sometimes when my wife tells me some things about maybe a little bit of it sticks in my mind because some of it I'm just, you know how us guys are. We can just kind of just, we're listening, but in all reality, we really aren't. Amen. You know, when God tells us to do something, when God says, hey, listen up, the littlest things matter. So in a world where people are so narcissistic that they demand recognition for their donation, and notice that not one of the 4 Gospels tells us his name, they just says, there's a lad. Only John tells us where the 5 loaves and the 2 fish came from, the lad. And then it only tells us that this lad, again, had a giving heart. You know, you think, we take stuff, I did a sermon that we take God for granted, but think, we take everything for granted. You know, you think of people in third world countries where Carter's at in Cuba, showing, if you never saw some of the photos that he took, look what they have and look what we have. You know, the thing is that you think of this lad back, you know, when Jesus was feeding this 5,000 people, they didn't have all these cool restaurants saying, hey, let's go to KFC, let's go to Buffalo Wild Wings, let's go to Lee's Chicken. You can see I love chicken. But, you know, they didn't have any of that. But again, this lad says, hey, I got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Going back to Matthew 14, 16, but Jesus said unto them, they need not to depart, give ye them to eat. You know, Jesus cared for these people. He says, hey, I don't want them trying to buy food. I can do this. You know, you think of being his disciples that's around him and saying, you know, thinking, oh man, Jesus, how are you going to do this? Even though that we already seen miracles, but this is only a little bit of food with 5,000 people. You think, you know, an average Sunday, we have over 100 people, and think that's 100 people compared to 5,000 people. You know, you think friend day or anniversary that, yeah, we had over 200 people, praise the Lord. But the thing is that well, that was a lot of food. But it's still 200 people. Think of 5,000 people here, and Jesus says, give ye them to eat. But Matthew 14:17 says, and they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, bring them hither to me. He says, Jesus says, I got this. Bring them here. Just bring them here to me. But Mark 6:38, he saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go ye and or go and see. And when they knew, they say 5 and 2 fish. Luke 19, but he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fish, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. You know, they didn't have all the money. Dollars to go, hey, here's some meat, or here's some bread, here's some food. Jesus says, I got this. The gift was unsolicited. We do not have to record, or we don't have any record in any of the 4 Gospels where Jesus asked anybody to give anything. Jesus says, I got this. Again, it goes back to the sermon that I did, I don't even know when, but we take God for granted. We look past the smallest things that's right dead smack in front of us. I remember growing up, my dad says, hey, go get the ketchup. I go in the refrigerator, look for the ketchup. Dad, we out of ketchup. And then my mom would butt in and says, son, if I go in that kitchen, if I find the ketchup, you about to get a beating. So I said, okay, I better go look again. And I'm looking, no ketchup. And I don't know how many times I got beat because we had no ketchup. But, you know, you think of here that we take God for granted so many times when we say, God, how are you going to do this? I got this. The boy saw the need, and out of a heart of compassion offered what he had to the Lord. Today, it seems that people have to be begged, coerced, repeatedly asked to do the smallest things. You know, you think of, in today's world, people want to be noticed for what they've done, what they gave, what they do, whatever it is that they do. And then there's times when, especially myself, where we have to beg somebody, please do this. I'll give you $10 if you do this. I'll give you $5 if you do this. I don't care. I just need you to do it. You know, think of how many people it's like that in today's world. It's very sad when there's a need for something and you just don't have the heart to do it. You know, having a giving heart, I'm not even saying money as far as giving, but, you know, seeing somebody that is in need of something, someone needed help lifting some concrete. I hate concrete because me and Jake knows a lot about it. But me and Jake, I was building a fence, and I had like 68 bags or something like that of concrete. And so I had Jake and I had Xavier and myself, and I said, wait, I'm paying you fools. You guys load this up. I helped a little bit, but you know, I said, I'm paying you guys. You guys lift it yourself. And, you know, I saw that there was a need, that this person needed help lifting up some concrete. His wife was disabled, and he was struggling. You know, all it takes is for us to see that someone needs something with our compassionate heart, with a mind that says that person or that whatever it is needs. Think of all the people that it's just for the smallest things that we have to ask for. And then human's perspective here in verse 8 of John 6, verse 8 says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they so many? It's a pretty funny question, isn't it? What are they so many, among so many? We can get upset at Andrew in verse 8 for making light of the donation, but we would have done the same exact thing. Sometimes we're selfish. Sometimes we're just, it might sound rude, but sometimes we're just dumb. And, you know, going through here is that there's none of us, no, there's not one of us that would have gotten excited about this lad's lunch. You know, you think of some fish and some bread. Woohoo! You know, you think of going through our fall anniversary. That was a good lunch, wasn't it? It was delish. Some of you guys tried my. I smoked some pork. That was the second time I'd done it. Hope you guys didn't get sick over it, because I never done it a day in my life. And I got, like, I don't know, it was about the size of my tablet that I smoked. And I said, oh, this is pretty good. Maybe, so I tried something different. And I thought it was better, but anyway. But it was some good food. But you think here that 5,000 people, you got a little bit of fish. You got a little bit of bread. Woohoo! You know, you think, how excited would you be if you got something like that? People in today's world would be like, I ain't eating that. And that could be the only thing around. People are so selfish. People are so self-centered about them, and they all think about, I'm not going to sing it. I sung it on Wednesday. I kind of want to sing it, but I'm not. But we have had, as some of you guys know, we've done a little like food pantry type thing, food drive for the Northmont Fish. You know, think of, there's some people that gets some macaroni, maybe some tuna, and that's all they got. How excited would you be if you got that? You know, a lot of us, we're just so stingy. We say, well, I ain't eating that. You know, my wife one time, I'm a meat type of guy. I love steak. I love hamburger. But, you know, here lately, I feel like she's going on strike and saying that I need to lose a little bit of weight. And she hasn't really cooked chicken here lately. She's been cooking some ground turkey. And, you know, this ground turkey, she's been putting into everything, and she says, oh, you know, it's cheap. I get it, it's cheap, but I work hard for, you know, what I want to eat, you know. And there's one time, this was before she even cooked ground turkey. We was just out of hamburger meat. I don't even know what it was. But she cooked chickpeas. She says, oh, these are amazing. If you like chickpeas, we can't be friends, because it was disgusting. But you think here that if that's the thing that Jesus served, you best believe that I'm going to eat that. Amen. Because if that's all there is, amen, that's what I got to do. If that's all it is to, you know, imagine that these 5,000 people, they got to see Jesus. And they said, oh, we're hungry, and we're going to eat. Man, I'm hungry. I can't wait for lunch. But can I say it? Many of God's people still ask the same question about anything that might be used of God. Prayer. What is that among so many? A gospel tract. What is it that among so many? A word of witness. What is that among so many? What is it that among so many? A testimony. What is that among so many? An offering. What is that among so many? We fail to recognize that it is not important of who is giving, what they are giving, but what they are giving. This boy didn't offer apologies for what he gave. He didn't play it down or play it up. He didn't demonstrate pride or false humility. He just gave what he had because there was a need for it. Imagine every Christian that just gave all they had because there was a need and they just wanted to do something about it. Imagine how wonderful this world would be. Imagine how, you know, even churches would be if they saw, hey, this floor is a little dirty, even though we have people that do it, but this floor is a little dirty. Maybe I need to come in after work one day and clean it a little bit. Or maybe, hey, we got cleaning teams on Mondays and Fridays. Oh, I have an hour to spare and I can come and do a willing heart for the Lord. Maybe there's somebody at the grocery store that you see them struggling and it's hard for them to put their groceries in the car, and you say, I got to help with that. Maybe you see somebody saying, hey, I can't understand the Bible fully, and you say, hey, I'm going to take you along and I'll show you how I do it. Maybe you can just have a willing, faithful heart. Because God is faithful to you, exactly what I told in the Sunday school. You know, when God is faithful, he's faithful. He never breaks that promise. But, you know, I was listening to a song. How many of you guys don't like, a deadbeat best friend? A best friend, or not really a best friend, but a bad friend. A friend that always fails. How many of you guys love that? But think of this. This was convicting in my heart, is that how often when you're, You know, you have a few bucks to spare. Maybe you can help somebody at the grocery store. Or maybe you see someone that is struggling and you're not helpful to that person. You know, you're not being a faithful friend to the Lord. Because the Lord says you should have a giving heart. But when you're not having a giving heart, you're that bad friend to God. You know, I had my one-year evaluation. And preacher challenged me. And it was very, very convicting to my heart. And that's why this message I thought was good for mine. If it's no good for anybody else in here, it was good for me to hear. Because, you know, if we're not challenged to do something, if you have a so hard of a heart that you just sit there all the time like a lump on a log and saying, I ain't doing jack squat besides going to work, coming home, and sitting in my bedroom, then you need to get on your knees and start talking to the Lord. But if you come home and you struggle and you're tired, I tell you what, as much, I'm not saying I'm the hardest worker here, but there's times when I just want to go home and sleep the day away because I'm so exhausted, I'm so beat. But there's some people, especially on Thursday nights at Grow, that they need to hear about Christ. They need, you think of your own home. How many people have you welcomed into your home? How many of you say, hey, you know, to a visitor or to a person that comes in, you know, this is really cool. Me and Megan didn't know this person from Adam. And when we went down to our sending Pastor McInerney's church in Savannah, Georgia, there was just an old couple says, hey, you guys want some lunch? You can come over to our house. Didn't even know who we were. Are you that open-hearted that you can say, hey, to a visitor, hey, you want to go get some lunch? Or is your heart just not there yet? You know, because obviously it's a stranger. It's not the greatest thing of mine to do, but the thing is, you got to get to know that person. The cool thing is about Roy coming in here and saying, hey, we're here with open arms that we can say, hey, Roy, you know, we love you, brother. Is there anything that we could do for you? But are you that person? Is there only a selected few, or is it everybody in here? Hopefully it's everybody in here. But the thing is that it doesn't just stop with everybody in here. We got to get more people in here so they have open arms as well. Because the more and more, just like preacher says, and I agree with it 100%, is, yeah, we're a loving church, we're a caring church, but we're not a soul-winning church. We get too up in our fields, and this is where he convicted my heart at, is he asked me, of how many people have I led to the Lord this year? And I was afraid to kind of give him the answer because I didn't really want to, you know, embarrass myself. I didn't want to, you know, I haven't led anybody to the Lord, but I know I could do better. But, you know, going towards, it's almost October, how many people have you invited to church? How many people have you tried to witness to? How many people have you say, hey, you can come underneath my arm and I'm going to disciple you? Because these are all the things that convicted my heart that my own preacher asked me. You know, if it doesn't convict your heart, then you got a heart problem. If it doesn't convict your heart, then I don't know what else to do besides I can pray for you and say, hey, you know, Jesus is almighty and he can do whatever he wants. But it's going to take you to say, hey, I got to have an open heart for that. This lad, he had an open heart. His heart was, some of us, even myself, I wish I had a heart like this. You know, he just gave what he had because there was a need. But you think here, a heavenly participation. One of the most powerful statements in this story is found in verse 11. This is amazing here. Verse 11. Jesus took the loaves. It's very powerful to me. Because this lad, he says, I got this. Jesus took them. He says, I can do this. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and to them that were set down. Likewise of the fishes as much as they would. You know, you think here that Jesus didn't beg this lad. This lad says, you can have all of it. This lad could have kept half of it, and he would still give more than anybody else that was there. But the thing is that this lad had an open heart. This lad had a giving heart. And again, this has nothing to do with money. I don't want you to get that confused with money. This is all about, you know, giving your heart to the Lord and serving him. Being a servant, I'm not going to say is the easiest thing, but it's the most rejoicing thing. But I can tell you that the authority of the Word of God, if you will give what you have, God will take it. God's not going to say, get that out of my face. I can't think of what movie it is. I'm not good as a preacher. But get that out of my face. I want to say it's Nacho Libre, isn't it? But the truth is, what we have is not much. You know, going from my last job to this job, I had a lot. Not with just money, but we could go on vacations whenever. We could give more. But it took a willing heart to say, I'm going to follow what the Lord has for me, and I'm going to go into ministry, what he called me to do. But we didn't have much. But you know, the cool thing is sometimes I got to sit down and just reminisce, is that sometimes I'm like, Lord, I don't know how we're going to do it this month. And the cool thing is that the Lord blessed me with the skills of electrical and everything, that someone calls and says, hey, I need this job done. You know, if I didn't have a faithful heart, if I didn't have the thing where I'm believing into the Lord, I wouldn't be able to get anywhere. But with Lord, I can do all things through him. So the truth is, we don't have much. It's insignificant and it's inadequate. It's not where not good enough or big enough to meet the needs of anybody or anywhere. But once God gets in on it, everything changes. If God's in on it, I want to be on it. You know, you think we always pray for revival. But the thing is revival isn't just going to it's going to start with us. But it's just like, you know, once we see revival going and I'm on the outside of it, I'm going to jump in and say, hey, I want to be part of this. If God's in it, I want to be with it. And this is what this lad says. It's a man. Jesus took my food. Imagine how, like, I feel like I'd be like a pumpkin. My smile would be like ear to ear. Jesus took my food. I'm just being honest. But all the rules goes out the window when God takes it and God blesses it. The high point of the story is not the hungry people. The high point is not the lad. The high point is not giving of the loaves and fishes. The high point is not the miraculous distribution of the thousands of hungry people. The miracle is not that their miracle is of the story is they were all filled. They're all filled. But they're all filled because, again, I just want to point this out again, it's because of the lad. You got to have a faithful heart. You got to have a giving heart. And without any of that, nothing's going to be possible. The conclusion to the story is about the imaginable blessing of giving God everything. The story is not about giving money or bread or fish, even though I love both, but giving him everything. Not just a little bit, not just half of it, but everything. Like I said, this lad could have said, oh, I'm going to give you half of what I got. But instead he says, I'm going to give you everything. Some of you guys haven't given the Lord everything. Some of you guys haven't given the Lord all your heart. You only gave him half of it. This lad, he held nothing back. You know, if Jesus came back today, would he be saying, you got a joyful heart, or if you got a mean heart? Would Jesus say, hey, I love your heart because you're a giving heart. You told everybody about me. You did everything for everybody. And again, this isn't saying you're going to go to heaven for your works. This is for a giving heart. He could have kept half of it and still given more than everybody else combined, but he didn't. He gave. But here's the kicker. He gave having no idea what God would do with it. He says, God, this is what I got. Do with it as you please. I don't know what else to do. There's a lot of people here. But he never held back. He didn't even know if God would take it. Could you imagine just the little lad? I'm just going to think we're sitting there talking about Joash. So I'm just going to say he's 7 years old. I don't know. It's not Bible, but. But I'm just thinking of a little kid. That's all I got. And he didn't, not some of us, that would knock it away. That ain't going to work. That's not going to work. But he certainly didn't know what God was going to do with it. But There was one thing for certain. He had no idea what Jesus was going to do with those 5 loaves and 2 fish. There's no way he thought that little lunch would feed 5,000 people. He just thought maybe it could help one or two, and he was perfectly fine with that. Imagine that, 5,000 people. And again, this lad, the giving heart that he had, says, hey, hope this feeds somebody. And that could have been all the food that the guy, little kid, had. But he says, take it. The moral of the story, and the title of the message, you've got to wait until the end to find out. It was only after he gave it that he saw what God was truly capable of doing with something so little. Now you say, well, I'm just newly saved here and I don't know how God can use me. God can use you in mighty ways. But you got to put your whole heart into it and say, God, you can have everything. Brain, but think, you guys only give a peewee size to God sometimes. God can use you for anything. So here, you got to wait till they find out, see what's going to happen. Jesus didn't tell him in advance he was going to feed the entire crowd. He had to wait until it was over to find out. Jesus didn't bribe him or promise him with a 12-fold return. He had to wait till it was over to find out. The disciples didn't tell him that God would make it worth his while to sacrificially give. He had to wait till it was over to find out. Well, I got to wait till it's over to find out. Some of you are scared to give all to God because you think he won't take it. Wrong. Scared some of you guys. That's why you guys jump a little bit. But some of you think it will be a waste. You know, this little bit of food wasn't a waste to God. He says, I'm going to use it. Some of you are not sure if it will be worth anything to give to God. But let me tell you something. If you're waiting for a written contract with all the details filled in, forget it. It's not going to happen. You know, I'm not much of an organization person. My wife is more organized than I am. She's one that, literally without her, I wouldn't be able to do a whole lot, obviously. But, you know, my wife, every time we go on vacation, she writes out a list for me, a list for her, a list for Braxton, a list for Maisley, of all the stuff that we have to take on vacation. And then she's, again, maybe some of you ladies are like this, but then she, you know, has a pen with her and she just goes around. It's almost like when I was in construction when an inspector came. Check, 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 and that's how she does it. You know, if you're expecting something like that, it's not going to happen. But if you're waiting for personal assurance in writing, forget it. People all around us are hungry. We have a humble provision that we can give. But the truth of the matter is you've got to wait until it's over to find out. We will only find out at the judgment seat just what all God had in store for those that give him everything. We've got to wait until it's over to find out how God can use us. We've got to wait until it's all over to find out what God can do with us. We've got to wait until it's all over to how many people we can be a blessing to. We've got to wait until it's all over to find out how many lives we can touch. We've got to wait until it's all over to find out how much glory we can bring to God. We've got to wait until it's all over to see all the miracles that are in store. And we got to wait until it's all over to find out how many people got saved through your missions, your giving, your efforts. We got to wait until it's all over to find out to know how much of a blessing you were to your pastor. Not to me, but to your pastor. You know, ask yourself this. Person that says, I give my all to them, or are you the person that says, man, I only gave them just a little bit? Reflect on this past week when somebody was in need, when you saw someone, maybe a random person at a store, was your reflection Christ or was it the world? No. Again, I needed this message. And the only reason is the questions that our own pastor asked me was, what are you doing for the Lord? Are you faithful to him or are you faithful to the world? Because we can't serve both at the same time. So ask yourself this. Are you faithful? Are you giving? And again, I'm not talking about money. Throw the money stuff to the side. Because when someone asks, can you give, it's always about money. But I'm talking about, are you giving your heart to the Lord? Are you giving it at all, your all? If I can have eyes closed, head bowed. You know, this morning, again, like I said, this might sound weird, but I needed this message. I say it over and over. Maybe somebody in here needed the same exact thing from God's word that I did. And if you say, Brandon, I've been struggling. I'm kind of a on and off type of Christian. Well, you know, there's a cool thing about there's an altar here that we can get on our knees and pray to the Lord. And maybe you say, I need to get to the altar this morning. Well, it's open. And you say, Brandon, this wasn't really much of a salvation message, but you say, I never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Well, the cool thing is that God loves you. God did all kinds of things so you can have eternity in heaven with Him. But the first thing you got to realize is that we all sin. The penalty of sin is death. And that John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, the only way that we could have everlasting life is one, we got to repent. We got to repent of our sins. We got to give it all to God. Not just some of our sins, but everything. Don't forget that. The next thing here is in Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. First, you got to recognize you're a sinner. Second thing is you got to know that, you know, there's a penalty, and that's death and hell. But Christ sent His Son to die on the cross for everybody, not just for some people, but for everybody. And the thing is that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to call upon His name. And if there is anybody in here this morning that says, oh, I'd love to do that, if you could just raise your hand. I'm not going to call you out and say, oh, you need to come up here. No. Yeah, I'm not going to call you out. Amen. If I can have somebody, anybody in here on my right, your left. Okay. Amen. If I can have the music playing. If everyone could stand. Still with eyes closed, head bowed. No looking around. If you answered one of those questions this morning and says, I haven't been faithful, or I've been somewhat faithful, come to the altar. Don't be scared. And then if there's anybody in here this morning that says, I never accepted Christ, I ask that you would come walk the aisle now with everyone else's eyes are closed, head bowed. They're not going to just look around. There's ladies, there's men up here that will show you from God's word on how to get saved.